It's good to be able to gather together as the people of God to worship the Lord this morning. Father, we hear the sounds of exuberant children. Let us be reminded in those sounds of joy and a little bit of chaos that you are continuing to be at work in the lives of each person here, from the youngest to the oldest. And we pray as we dig a little bit deeper into the wisdom of Proverbs, that you would remind us that that is how your wisdom gets passed on from generation to generation. May we continue to teach those who are in our lives through how we are, how we act, the steps that we take in our lives, may they reflect your Son Jesus to those around us. Lord, we know that we don't always measure up. We often fall and fail, and yet you are always there to pick us up and dust us off and remind us that you are the one who is in control. As we sang, we are yours and you are ours. We thank you for the chance to be in relationship with you. God, I pray for each person here today that you would give them a measure of your Spirit that would awaken what it is that they are yearning to hear, and that it would guide these next steps, both today and in the week to come. God, we thank you that you love us so much. Will you help us to reflect your love out into the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Possible to have specific rules and laws for every situation in life. Nor did God make humans to be robots, acting mechanically to follow a long list of regulations. Instead, God expects his people to live by wisdom. This wisdom speaks clearly enough, yet we also need discernment to apply its teachings well in the varied experiences of life. God's wisdom respects our stature as significant, decision-making creatures. Wisdom guides and informs, issuing an invitation to a mature, healthy, and winsome life. The final collections of wisdom sayings in Proverbs are smaller than the large group of Solomon's precepts in the first half of the book. The five final sets of Proverbs are a mix of common two-line sayings and longer exhortations that explore key wisdom themes. Included here is a second set of Solomon's Proverbs collected by the advisors of King Hezekiah of Judah. The closing poem in Proverbs is a fitting summary of the wisdom that the book has promoted. The exemplar of someone who has embraced God's knowledge for living well is found in the presentation of a virtuous and capable wife. Her hard work and care for the poor reveal an inner strength and dignity, and are emblematic of the deep love and respect for God that characterize all those who are wise. Book 3 of the Psalms left us in the darkness of Israel's exile. Book 4 moves us onto the ground of more enduring, permanent truths. The Lord our God is King. He has always been the world's great King. He rules now, and he will show his strength again. As Israel waits for God to rise up and return to them, the nation must remember who the Lord is and what he has promised to do. These songs are filled with beautiful, strong words, the kind that can sustain people right in the middle of their great struggle. People come and go, returning to dust, but God remains a steady shelter, the everlasting ruler over all the earth. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. God creates life and renews the face of the earth. The creation itself is his robe of glory and honor. This God who is over all things gave his word that he would rebuild Jerusalem. His people are urged to faithfully praise and worship him for who he is and everything he's already done. But exile cannot be the last word in their story. So they exert their energy, pleading with him to do all that he promised. They will not rest until they see his salvation.
So that kind of goes over what you're going to be reading or listening to as you continue on with Immerse. Again, this is week 5. And so this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the rest of Proverbs, including some of the Proverbs that you kind of let me know stood out to you. And then you'll be reading later in this week the fourth set of Psalms. So sometimes it's called Book 4. Of Psalms. They kind of divide Psalms up into 5 different chapters. Again, if you need a copy of this, we have some copies over there that are available. Some of the verses that we'll use this morning are on the little insert in your book. And it's good to hear that some of you have been using the free audio version. And like I said before, it's a great way if you have to drive into work somewhere, you know, you can put that on. And especially when you're on Highway 4, you know, let's just say Proverbs. There's a bunch of Proverbs in there that probably speak to our experience driving on Highway 4 most days. So it can be a good reminder. Last week we started with Proverbs, and we talked a little bit about how a lot of our life, we know a lot of Proverbs or proverbial sayings. What were some simple things or simple Proverbs that you know or you've heard before? Maybe they're from the Bible or maybe not. Like, a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. You know, simple phrases like that, whether we actually know what that is talking about or not. What are a few other ones that you can think of that you've come across in your daily life? What? A closed mouth doesn't get fed. You get what you pay for. Measure twice, cut once. Or one of my former roommates, he did the opposite. Measure once and end up cutting twice. Or try to put something on the wall without, like, leveling it out first. Never works out. Any others that you can think of off the top of your head? Don't throw rocks at glass houses unless you want to get in trouble. So you could see we come across Proverbs all the time. And there are even Proverbs that sound good, but they may not even be in the Bible. We know that there's tons and tons of them in the Bible. And one of the things that I asked you to do, and some of you sent in some verses that you came across this past week about Proverbs that you discovered that really kind of stood out to you. So I want to take a few moments and read through this. And then we're going to kind of follow the pattern that we've been doing the last 2 weeks, where we look at 4 simple questions and we sort of learn and discuss together, so that hopefully when we leave here today, we are all hopefully a little bit more wiser than when we entered in. As one of the things that we learn about Solomon is that Solomon prayed and asked for wisdom, and God granted him that. In fact, the wisest person whoever was and whoever will be on earth. But we also know that Solomon in his own life, even though he was given wisdom, he didn't always carry that out wisely. Some of the Proverbs that he wrote down, he didn't always practice what he preached. And by the end of his life, he had gotten into some major troubles, because he didn't always listen to the wisdom that God had put into his own heart. So one of the things that came out on the little video clip was, wisdom is great, but we also need discernment to know how to apply that wisdom into our life. So let's read a few of these. I'm going to just read what is on our sheet. I tried to put them sort of in order. So if you see the side that says Proverbs 13, let's start on that side. 3 verses from Proverbs 13. And again, the first question that we're asking ourselves is, what stood out to you? So as we read these verses, think about, is there a particular proverb that really stands out to you and why? Proverbs 13. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Remember, this is part of that thing we talked about last week. Proverbs paints this picture of two ways. The way of the wise, and then it contrasts that with the way of the foolish. And the other set of words that sometimes pop up are the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. We've talked about the two ways, that we often are given all these decision points in our life. And you know, you can go left or you can go right. We can follow what God has shown us, or we are also free to choose unwisely. In fact, God will allow us to continue making bad choices all the way to our death. That's part of this freedom that we have. It's not a freedom necessarily to do whatever we want, even though we can, but it's a freedom to choose to follow God. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy with these two ways. The third part, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. That's what my folks used to talk about to me when I was in high school all the time. Okay, next set, Proverbs 15. There were a few verses that were submitted from Proverbs 15. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. Don't you like some of the word pictures that are being drawn here? The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. And then verse 4, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And then the last verse that's on the bottom of that first page from Proverbs 17. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. On the backside, a few more. Proverbs 16. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. In fact, there are multiple variations of that proverb that you may have come across this past week or even as you continue reading on in Proverbs. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I recall, though, that I did come across another proverb about honey, and it said, don't eat too much honey. I'm paraphrasing, or you end up getting sick, or something like that. So there's all these like different images that come into play. Last part, verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. Amen. Every day I look in the mirror. It is gained by living a godly life. Well, I hope so. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. And the last verse from Proverbs 16. We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. The game is rigged. I think in the original it's we may cast lots, but the Lord determines how they fall. Yeah, this is sort of the modern interpretation of that. And then a few more from Proverbs 18. Again, these are all proverbs that you would have encountered from the last 5 days worth of reading. Proverbs 18, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Case in point, Facebook. Next one, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. And the last one, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I know. You guys found some really good nuggets of wisdom in our reading this week. So out of all those verses, as you look on the front or the back, or maybe there was another one that you came across in your reading this past week, what stood out to you? What stands out to you? Are there specific words or phrases that help your understanding. Oh yeah, I forgot. We're going to try using our wireless mic again so that it gets picked up on our recording. So if you have something to, we're going to try this again this week. We tried it last week. We have a replaced battery, so hopefully it's working better. I'm going to hand microphones to you. Yeah. Yeah. Just speak into that. Hold it up.
The one where it says jump to words or tree of life, I find out in my daily raising of Ayla that if I talk to her, you know, with jump to words and talk and discuss things instead of using bad words or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it crushes her. I've seen it before, you know, yeah. And I gain a lot more with her.
Yeah.
By using, you know,
yeah.
Gentle
words of the tree of life. Yeah, if you think back at your own life, the times where perhaps you were able to accept correction or come to a new learning, unless you're very unusual, that harsh word doesn't always make it very easy to hear clearly. Here you go.
Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate the fool and get in trouble. I always found myself, is it coming through?
Yeah, I think we're just having... It is. We're just not going to worry about it. I will just try to repeat things when you guys say things. Yeah.
You know, I just recall always sitting around the older folks because I just thought that they knew a whole lot more than me as a little kid.
Okay.
You know, sitting there listening to their stories and wisdom and things that they've gone through. And
so your experience was some of the older folks that were in your life,
yeah.
Grandparents, other people, you found them to be offering words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, in that second part of it, when I hung out with fools, and I realized, okay, I need to go somewhere else. So,
yeah.
Part of that whole thing.
One of the things when we're reading some of these, we have to remember that just because we're talking about, I mean, the characterization is these two ways, the wise one or the foolish one. It doesn't mean that the person is a complete fool or in everything, just in that moment, there's a choice, yeah. Other things that stood out to you, words or phrases, or even just a general sense of what you're getting from Proverbs. Yeah, Ezra.
In Proverbs 15:22, one that I like in the New Living Translation, it says, "Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring them to death."
Proverbs 15:22, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm more familiar with this than I
mean. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. If we were going to add a third line to that, what do you think the natural outcome of that might be? What could be a good third line for that proverb? What?
Judge wisely,
yeah. You can be given every good piece of advice or wisdom, but if you're the one that has to make the decision, you still have to act on it and act in a wise way, yeah. So a lot of these proverbs, they have kind of a natural conclusion. And we said, you know, there are, of course, there's ones in here that you're going to read, and they might not resonate because they're 2,000 years old, but we can sometimes take a step back and see the overarching principle. Last week, we said that a proverb isn't always meant to be an absolute truth or absolute promise for every situation in every context. This is where discernment comes into play. Anything else stand out to you this morning from some of these proverbs? And I'll be honest, I chose not to include a few of them. There's some spicy ones in there too. But if you've got another one that stood out to you,
let. Just the power of the tongue.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah. The tongue, one of the most powerful weapons that we have for good or ill. We've talked about that before in other, what are some other parts of Scripture that talk about the power of the tongue? James has a lot. The book of James talks about the power of the tongue, that it's almost like an unwieldy weapon that can. Last week we talked about foot and mouth disease, a common affliction, something that easily gets us in trouble. Teach a child in the way it should go, he or she should go, and it will not leave that way. Now again, remember, these are the ideals that we're shooting for. There's still, because we are created with free will, and this might be a word for those of you that have children that you've been praying for a long time, you can do the best possible job. And it's still up to that child to make the choice for which way they will go. I've told the story before that there was a man who I had been praying with for several years, and he finally shared that he'd been praying for his son for like 30 years. And what happened after 30 years was his son actually met a woman, and one of her stipulations for getting married was, get ye to church. And that kid, who was now in his mid-30s, actually started coming to church again. And it was, even though not everything was perfect and resolved, it was finally a partial answer to prayer for this father who had just grieved for his son for 3 decades. It was a great experience to see that guy walk into church and within 2 years actually go on a mission trip himself. I never would have believed it in a million years, knowing what I know about this guy. That's the power of the Spirit of God. Never go. Yes.
Thinking back off of the raising your kids in a godly way, where it says, walk with the wise, become wise, associate with fools, and cold. A lot of times we teach them the right way. And then I don't get to some person they're all in trouble with, you lead them on the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. It can take a very long time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Kenya.
There's a verse that says, the Holy Spirit of God is disciplined to keep your children. And you love their children, hear them, and discipline them. And it speaks to us as people that we have to, as we grow as Christians, we have to be open to the Lord correcting us and give direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. God does love us, and just so everyone could hear, we have to be willing to accept the discipline of the Lord, his correction. We talked about this a little bit last week when we said one of the Proverbs, I can't remember exactly which one, but it was the wise one welcomes correction. Nobody likes to be corrected. We don't like discipline, but yet it is sometimes necessary in our life. Often it's necessary. Yeah, Mike.
So just off of that, where it says spare the rod, and the rod they're talking about is sheepherder's rod, and that was to direct the sheep, that they're always going the wrong way. You have to direct. It's not saying that you have to take a rod and start beating the kid.
Yeah.
The rod is a directional rod. It's like they have a hook on the end of it, and they pull the sheep back.
Yeah. It's a correcting tool, and one of the thrusts of Proverbs, we said this last week, was that many of the Proverbs are less they're not necessarily a prescription to follow, but they are descriptive of a bigger reality. We mentioned the word rebuke last week, that we actually don't use the word rebuke very well because we think that rebuke is punitive, but it's not. It's always a rebuke in the biblical sense is meant to be a word of correction that guides someone into correct or right action. So when we are rebuking with a harsh intent or, you know, physical means, we're very rarely going to be effective at all because we're actually not doing it properly. It doesn't mean that we don't need painful correction. I needed some spanks when I was young, but I didn't always appreciate them. Yeah.
It's not just our own parents that say someday you'll thank me.
It's not just parents that say someday you'll thank me. Yeah. When we read the story of the Bible, and especially God's journey with his people, wow, isn't God patient? More patient than perhaps you or I could ever be. Seemingly giving them so many chances until we realize that the story is also our story as well. And when I start to think about like myself, then I'm actually grateful for that God is patient and not punitive. Second question. Anything that was confusing or troubling, we already sort of touched on this a little bit. Some of these proverbs require a little bit of kind of like contemporary interpretation of how this actually applies for us today. Anything confusing or troubling for you? Okay. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? That's from chapter 20.
And it just spoke to me about, you know, him ordering our footsteps and knowing everything that's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are times when he will put me in situations that may not be pleasing to me, but
mm-hmm.
something that he has ordered.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think we try to, why we want to understand everything?
So we can fix it.
So we can fix it, okay. Sometimes, I can say this because she's not here today, but I have tried to fix things that didn't need fixing. And my wife says, all I want you to do right now is to listen to me. I don't need you to fix anything. Maybe, I'm not saying that my wife is God, but maybe she was the voice of God in that moment. Sometimes we're trying to fix things that we just need to accept. What else? Maybe one more.
I have one that's not on your list.
Sure.
The wise woman built her house with her own hands, but the foolish one tears hers down.
The wise woman builds her house with her own hands, but the foolish one tears hers down. Well, I'm not a woman, so it didn't stump me, but no. Sorry, no. I know. Steady.
I'll go back in time to my ex-wife. Made an alliance to try to tear us down all the time. And she was foolish because it hurt us, you know, spiritually, financially, and everything else. Mm-hmm. So a wise woman wouldn't do that, but a foolish one would.
And a lot of these proverbs, you know, we could replace gender. So, like, there are times where sometimes we want to be right at any cost. Even if that means tearing down some of the people that we love the most, which is so unwise. in the big scheme. You're talking about the argumentative, complaining wife. So then we can flip that one, and we could say an argumentative, complaining husband as well. Sure. Let's do the third and fourth questions together. The third question is, what might make you think differently about God as you read through these Proverbs of wisdom, and how might this affect the way in which we live? Because again, these are little short statements that are really easy to kind of remember some of them. But how can this actually affect the way in which we live? So we can learn to make the right decision and the wrong, make the right decision. We understand right and wrong. Yeah.
We got that little guy up here saying, "You know you can do it."
Mm-hmm.
But then you got the other guy saying,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the Spirit of God speaking those words that we need to hear all the time. And like we said, with the power of the tongue, sometimes things come out of our mouths before our brain actually hits the pause. I know that that's been a problem of mine in the past.
Is that little voice in your head gone?
What do you think?
I think it is. You know, I mean, I hear it in my
It mind. Could be. But there are many people that claim to be hearing from God who...
Some of us have more than one voice.
Some of us have more than one voice. That's true. Yeah, Ezra.
A lot of the proverbs are just kind of laying out the most basic sort of scenario. And a lot of times, we might tend to overthink a scenario. And we'll say,
they're kind of ordering you, they're sort of pointing you in a direction, but not necessarily giving you all the details. It's like bowling with the lane that has bumpers, you know? It gives you a pathway to sort of be aiming for, but it's not going to give you every, you still have to roll the ball. And sometimes we only learn that through trial and error, and sometimes trial after trial after painful trial. And some lessons, unfortunately, we never learn. I think we're going to stop there for this morning, but I hope that as you read through the rest of Proverbs this week and into the next section of Psalms, that you'll continue to pray for the Spirit to lead you in wisdom. You can receive all the wisdom in the world, but unless you also pair that with discernment, knowing how to apply God's wisdom in your life, you know, we might be able to quote all the proverbs in the world, but it doesn't really mean anything unless we actually learn how to put that into practice in our life. Church, let's pray this morning, and then we'll prepare to conclude our time together this morning. God, we thank you for your word. We especially thank you that even though he didn't always display it in his own life, that Solomon prayed and asked for wisdom, and that you granted that wisdom to him. May we also combine that with the ability to apply your wisdom in our lives. While we know that not every circumstance or situation is always clear, we know that when we come to you in prayer, and we ask you for direction, that you will order our steps and point us in the right direction. May we have the courage to walk in your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5, imagine this sound at the end. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen and amen. May God bless you in the week to come, granting you everything that you need to love and serve him. Go now in peace, my friends. Amen. Have a great week.